All right, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 205. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And we got a jam-packed episode, so we're going to get right into it with not a whole lot of bullshit. Starting off, Chris, you saw Detective Pikachu in theaters. I did not make it to this one.
That's okay. Probably. Yeah,
that's what I kind of hear.
Detective Pikachu is based on the Pokemon franchise. I guess there's actually a Detective Pikachu game too. I don't know. I haven't played it.
I don't know. I don't know if it ever came out here.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it definitely has that imagery of like Pikachu with, you know, a Sherlock Holmes type hat on. I know that's all I know about that game. So I don't know if this follows the plot of that or whatever, but there's this kid, Tim, I believe his name is, and he's estranged from his dad. He gets a call basically that his dad has died in a car accident, while doing some investigative work as a detective. And he goes to kind of like, you know, close out the accounts. You know, when someone dies, like you have to, there's a lot of work that has to get done. So he heads to the city. When he gets there, he is met up with this Pikachu who can mysteriously talk to him. None of the other Pokemon can talk. And Tim can understand this one as well. Nobody else can. So it's like they have this weird special bond. And Pikachu was Tim's dad's partner, his Pokemon partner on the police force. And his memory has been lost. He has amnesia. He doesn't remember what happened in the accident. So they go on this very simplistic kind of adventure quest mystery to solve, where, you know, they're trying to find out what happened to Tim's dad and find Pikachu's memory again, whatever. It's fine. It's very simplistic. The performances are good. The Pokemon look fantastic. The animation work is great. Like they're believable that they're coexisting alongside humans. But the plot here is straight up cliche cartoon, you know, super villain type thing nonsense. Like,
yeah,
it's some like
cartoon or something.
Yeah, it's like some crazy ridiculousness where like evil corporation guy has evil plan to do evil thing, and Tim and Pikachu need to figure it out, and there's the whole mystery of the dad involved in there, and there's a twist at the end with that, but it's fine. Like,
I have basically one question. Who was the deciding force to you going to see this? Was it you or one of the kids?
I wanted to go see it. Like,
did you go by yourself?
Yeah, I did. which was really weird. Like, it wasn't awesome. Like I went on Monday. Right after work. It was not packed.
Monday night.
Yeah, it was like it was like Monday right after school, I guess, like right after like 4:35, whatever. Not a lot of people in the theater. It evidently did really good over the weekend. It's a movie. It is very much a kid's movie.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot more depth there. Like if you are interested in like animation and like seeing these things that have very much always been like cel shaded animation and pixel drawn in other cartoons or video games, it's a fascinating, like it is visually really cool. But the story is not enough to keep you going. So I'm going to give it a 3. It's fine.
All right.
It's not a bad movie. It's just not anything that's going to be like, I don't know. It's fine for a video game property. It's actually pretty decent, but
like basically what you have said has been what I've heard pretty much. And I don't know. I was like semi interested because mostly the animation, but then also it's like it's Pokemon. You know, I'm kind of into Pokemon now, so that'd be kind of cool, right? But
yeah.
As soon as like it came out, the reviews are mostly kind of like, yeah, it's like a kind of a kids movie, and it's fine, and like it's better than most video game movies, but not like, yeah, it's just nothing to, like really to write home about.
No, I mean it's a perfectly fine movie. It is. I mean, it's better than some DreamWorks stuff. It's worse than some DreamWorks stuff. Like, it's like right in that level of family type entertainment.
It's weird because I had some small hope that it'd be a little bit better than that. But
yeah,
so I'll see it eventually. Hoping.
Yeah, if you get a chance to see it on Netflix or Hulu or something, like certainly it's not a bad film. And it's visually like it is quite engaging because of, you know, all these like realistic looking Pokemon walking around the city, and like the animations they do with them are fascinating. But in terms of an actual movie with a story, it is just fine. In terms of like what you want to see in a Pokemon movie, like there's some of it, like opening scene, there's a Pokeball, they're trying to catch a Pokemon. There's like a Pokemon battle at one point where Pikachu fights off against a Charizard. Like it's like stuff like that. But in the rest of it, it's kind of like the Pokemon are just kind of like in the periphery. It's like, oh, I know what that one is. And I know what that one is. Like, it's cool to see them, but I don't know. This could have been named anything and it would have been the same.
Yeah.
The Pokemon brand doesn't make it any better.
All right. Well, eventually I'll give you my take on it.
Yeah.
Now let's just keep moving right along, and we're gonna get a lot of the stuff from here and out is pretty new recent stuff, and a lot of it we actually have both seen, so this should be a lot of fun. And we're gonna start with a new film that I think, you know, was at some festivals last year and it got picked up by Shudder and premiered on Shudder, I think, last week. It's called The Ranger, and it got a fair amount of positive buzz, at least I saw on Twitter. It's sitting with a tomato score of 77%.
That's weird.
And you know, on paper, I think this sounds like a movie for me. It sounds like a movie probably you would like, too. It's like punk kids in the woods, and there's a psycho ranger, like, you know, park ranger coming after them. And it's a fun idea, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, it has that kind of, well, sounds like an 80s type slasher movie, you know, kids in the woods, and there's a park ranger trying to kill them, you know?
Yep.
So that's like the basic idea of this, and the setup is like these kids. I don't, you know what? I'll let you take over for a little bit in terms of like, what did you think of it? You know, and what, you know, if you want to set it up a little more as you.
Yeah. So like the general premise is teen punks in the woods, but yeah, the setup is weird.
Yeah.
They are in this like, I don't know. I thought it was a legitimate venue at first, but evidently it is like some warehouse or something that they should not have been in. They're at this like punk concert thing, which gives a bad first impression because it immediately drives your mind to Green Room, which is a far superior film to this.
Yeah.
But it like it puts you at that level, like, all right, like maybe they're going for this type of thing. And
yeah.
It's weird because immediately they make you hate pretty much the entire group.
Yeah.
They stab a cop. One of the guys stabs a cop after the police have busted this, illegal, you know, whatever, this illegal party in this warehouse or whatever. The cops come in, they bust the party, and this one girl, she's about to get caught by the cops. She's holding like 2 kilos of
some made up drug.
Yeah, some like made up, like, I don't know, it's like some pink cocaine or something. And she's like, it's in her bag. She's about to get picked up here. And her boyfriend comes out of the door, stabs this cop in the chest, and kills him. And then they escape. Like, they're trying to figure out, like, oh, what do we do? What do we do? But like, they put you at this bad turn right away. Like, all right, these aren't good kids. You can't play up the, like, oh, we're poor or whatever. Like, they're immediately criminals, like bad kids, like not like,
yeah,
which was a choice that they made to stab this cop and then run. And then they continue to be assholes like for the next 20 minutes, half hour. And very quickly, there's a divide between the four and the main character, Chelsea. Whose cabin they're going to. Her uncle has a cabin up on this mountain somewhere, and they draw a divide very quickly. Like, they kind of make you hate the other four because they're just being assholes to like everybody, not just people around, but also to her. And so, I don't know. It's like, you kind of want them to die. Like, I don't know. I did not care about their living or dying at all. And then like the ranger starts, you know, after them and systematically offing them. I don't know. There is a cool premise under here. There's a cool story underneath it all. I think it is.
I think. Maybe.
Well, I think like the ranger has been obsessed with this girl for like 20 years now or something.
Yeah. I don't know how much all that works for me or if it helps or hurts. It's something.
There's something there that, like, if, you know, maybe if, you know, directed a little better, handled a little better, it would work. But it's all done with these characters that aren't engaging. The actors, I don't think, are particularly good. It's shot like shit. It looks like a
super
low budget film. Like, you know, you go back and look at like Friday the 13th and those early Friday the 13th movies, and it's like you could tell they had a low budget.
They were shot well.
Like, this is shot film. Shitty. Like, this looks like some dude running around the forest with his iPhone. And like, occasionally they get like some good shots. Like, I think the guy who played the ranger, Jeremy Holm, was pretty decent. Like, he gives a okay performance here, but and I don't dislike the main character Chelsea, although she reminded me a little bit of like Natasha Lyonne. A little bit, but everybody else I kind of hate.
It's so funny because you pretty much read my mind on most of this. I'm just going, yep. It's so weird. There's like so many things you kind of touched on everything I want to say, but I just got to give some of my thoughts. But I would go as far as to say I didn't like him either. Like, I didn't like the guy playing the ranger. I didn't think he was very good. I did like the lead. I thought she was good, but yeah, like you said, like everything else you said is like so spot on, and it's so fucking weird because like that setup, the very beginning setup where they, or not the very beginning setup, but the beginning setup where like,
the beginning,
oh shit, we fucking stabbed a cop. Like, you could have made that work, I guess. I would prefer not.
like something else. Like, I mean, like, hey, it's cliche to what like, if, do what like if, we like, have to hide from the cops
to do it,
right?
Like, what if, like, you know, because it was like they get in the scuffle, but it's like the teenagers went way overboard instead of the cop, you know?
Right. Like, there's no reason that her boyfriend couldn't have just come out, knocked the guy over, taken his gun, and they run away or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, like that would.
What if like you have to make it so that like, oh, they've killed somebody, like. I don't know. There's plenty of horror films where somebody accidentally kills somebody like on the road, like, or something. Like,
that's the thing is, like, you didn't have to do that. That's probably my biggest complaint with the film. You didn't have to do that because they didn't do anything with it. As soon as the kids are in the woods, they're acting like any other group of kids in a Friday the 13th movie, except for her.
Yeah, it's not like you haven't been like it's not they're like you're fun. on the run. You are, you guys should be laying low. You certainly shouldn't be running around the forest like spray painting shit, starting bonfires and blasting music. Like, you don't want to draw attention to yourself. You are wanted by the police, and they have your description. Like, they play like a radio.
You would be paranoid beyond belief.
Oh yeah,
you'd be freaking out. Like, and everyone just seems to be kind of having fun, and I'm just like
telling her to calm down. Like, she's the only one that seems to be playing like the part that she should be playing.
Yeah, and so like for me, it's like it could have maybe worked, but it's like either do it or don't, because like the way you did it was just like, oh, we're just using that as an excuse to get them into the woods, but it's like
there's so many other ways to do
it. It could have just been we're going to the woods,
right?
Yeah, like that's it. We're going to the woods, get high, whatever.
There's so many like other contrived ways to get kids into the woods. Like, they've been doing it.
It's such
since the dawn of the slasher film.
And even and if you stop and like even think about it for a minute too, it's like to have that set up. This just kind of occurred to me, but like to have that set up in this kind of like political climate where like police interaction is already really charged to begin with, and it's just to play with it here like that, like it's just a stupid thing. Like, I don't know. It just
and play with it in the worst possible way. Like,
yeah, it's just like it's just
like
it's just like they're unaware of the context of any of the last 5 years.
Right. It's like that the cop is literally doing what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Like he's not being overly aggressive. He's just telling her to like, you know, come forward, put your hands up or whatever. And then her boyfriend just comes out and immediately stabs the dude. They take his gun and like, oh, we're going to shoot you. It's like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. To me, not necessarily, I don't know. Like, it's just something that just occurred to me just now. But I'm like, you know, in a way, it is kind of like a thing that kind of sticks out in this day and age. And for you to, like, handle it that poorly and not like, having this
like,
way.
And they try to be diverse here. Like, one of the punks is, like, a black kid. Like,
yes. You
could have played with that where he's the one that has picked up the drugs. He's the one that's kind of like, and you make the cop a little more aggressive. Like, and you make it dangerous for the kid. Like, I'm not like, yes, that's. You know, that would be cliche as well, but like, this is just stupid.
It's just, yeah, it's just the thing. Yeah, it's like if you're gonna have an interaction between, some kid and a cop, and you're not gonna have anything to say about it, and just again, like going back to just the wider, more basic view, it's like either do something with that or not. Because when they get into the woods, they act like assholes, and it makes it even fucking.
It's so weird because they do like. It's like they throw shit at the wall. It's like, we're going to do this cop interaction. We're going to have, we're going to have this black kid hanging out with these white punks, which is atypical. We're going to make him gay. And
I will say, you know what?
With the other one, like, but there's not, they don't do anything with any of that. It makes zero, like, it's just there. It's.
I will give them credit for this. Actually, I thought that the way they presented like the gay relationship was pretty good because of that. Because it wasn't like it didn't make a point of it at all. It's just like I didn't realize they were gay until they kissed, and I was like, okay. And then like,
yeah,
the movie and it doesn't do it in like a winking or smiling way.
Yeah, it's just like that's
who the characters are
to be gay.
I actually commented on that when we were watching. I'm like, that's kind of weird. You don't usually see movies handle gay characters well.
Well,
that's like about the best thing I could say about this movie,
right? And it's like, but you didn't. You had things that you could have played with and you didn't do any of it. It's just like, we're going to have kids in the woods and we're going to kill them. Like,
once it gets going and the ranger's killing people, like I'm having a little bit of fun. Right. But I guess for me, the stumbles along the way, like setting it up really hurt it a lot for me. And like you said, the quality of the film, like the, you know, just the look and shit of it
does not look good.
Hurts. And I don't think like the stuff that they were trying to do with the deeper story about how when she was a kid, she used to live there or she was like living there with her uncle. I don't think that stuff paid off quite right.
It was done.
Like you said, there's a nugget. There's a nugget of something there.
It's just not.
I don't even remember exactly how it ended now. I'm just like it.
She, I mean, she ended up shooting him, and he fell out of the guard tower. Ultimately, spoilers. Sorry for anybody that happens to want to watch this less than good film. The reason that he is obsessed is because he's a serial killer, and she killed her uncle accidentally as a little kid.
All right, yeah, full spoilers. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to finally reveal, because they kept going to this flashback and showing a little bit more, that he had, walked up behind her and shot her uncle and then made her think that she did it. But no, it's just she accidentally shot her uncle, and then, I don't know, he was obsessed with her because of that.
Yeah.
There's so many things, and, some of our favorite, and some of, the forgotten slash movies of the 80s, that some of the logic is even worse than this, and the movies are worse than this, a lot of them, but, it's not 1980 anymore.
No.
I expect a little more, it just didn't work for me. It was such a turnoff at the beginning. Yeah, I kept being reminded of Green Room with the look of these kids, and I was just like, well, you want to remind me of Green Room, because that's a great film.
You can't do that with – you can't do, a movie with punks, a horror film like that, and then not
– these days are not
– some sort of comparison to that.
Yeah,
exactly. And I don't know, I get the vibe they were going for. It's certainly early 80s slasher film, but you make mistakes by not making the characters likable, or at least not making them there, right? Some of the Friday 13th characters, you don't care if they die or not, but you don't actively dislike them. And also you have to look at least as good as those films.
Yeah. Cinematography, man. It can't look like a YouTube video.
No, and that's exactly what this looks like.
Anyways, I don't want to be too mean to harp on it too long, but it has its fans, I guess, because it's got a pretty good rating. I've seen people talk it up on Twitter, so I was looking forward to it because of that.
I'm confused. I would love. I should probably dig into it, and find out what they actually see in it.
Yeah.
I did not get any of that out of it. Whatever.
It's weird because the audience rating does lag below the critics, which is so weird because this is such a trashy movie. You would think the
critics,
the audience,
what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Anyways, let's move along to our next film, Chris. Did we give scores?
I don't think we did.
I'm giving it 2.
That's where I'm at.
All right. Let's move along to the next one. That is The Clove Hitch Killer, which just came out on Hulu. I think it released a little bit earlier in this year. It says initial release March 28th in the Netherlands. But yeah, it's a new release. It's on Hulu. It stars Dylan McDermott as this dad who his son begins to believe is a serial killer. That's the real broad setup here.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like this, goody two-shoe church type family. I don't know if are they religious? I can't remember exactly.
Very.
Okay. Yeah. I couldn't remember if it was just the Boy Scout shit or also church shit.
Yeah, there's church shit. There's the Boy Scout stuff. And, the mom, they talk about going to church and
it's almost it's like stereotypical or something. This is the Ned Flanders family, I mean
it's like a town full of Ned Flanders, right?
Yeah.
It's like everybody they're interacting with seems to be of that as well.
Yeah, small town Clarksville, Kentucky.
I guess that checks out.
I think it starts off with he's a 16-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Kind of giving us a voiceover about how the town has this memorial for these victims every year, right? These people who got killed by the Clove Hitch Killer. and nobody really talked about it until I think, what is it? He like discovers something in his dad's truck.
Yeah. Well, so
or shed.
It was in the truck. This girl he's with, like they're making out, and
he steals his dad's truck. He goes out to make out with this girl,
and she finds like this weird, like I don't know if it was a bondage photo or a stripper. Mm-hmm. It was some sort of photo, like a lewd photo.
It was like a bondage photo, yeah.
Yeah, and she gets very taken aback by like, the fuck is this? And like, no, and I guess she starts spreading rumors about, well, I mean, not really a rumor, like it was found in the truck that he was driving, but that he's like some sort of like weird depraved perv.
Yeah. And meanwhile, this kid who's kind of our main character, I kind of stated it wrong. It's, you know, it's not about a serial killer. It's about a kid who thinks his dad is a serial killer.
Yes.
And, you know, yeah. Meanwhile, this kid is like, yeah, he's like, what the fuck was this? Like, why does my dad have this in his truck? And he starts to dig into his dad and he starts to find things. And he starts to, you know, starts to believe that his dad might be the Clovich killer.
Yeah.
And the, you know, I think they get the name the Clovich killer because it's a type of knot.
Yep.
And right away, you know, in my head, at least I'm going, well, isn't that what they teach in the Boy Scouts? Is like how to tie all these different fucking knots.
Yep.
You know, he might be like super into that, you know, rope type, you know, he's got the bondage shit in the trunk. Anyways, so your mind is kind of racing with this kid. And it kind of like, in a way, I think it's a movie that kind of goes where you expect it to go. But I think it's done well enough. I think that Dylan McDermott is kind of compelling enough as this goody tissue, maybe serial killer dad. I don't know. What'd you think?
Yeah, I'm pretty much there with you on that. It started out a little slow. In fact, like halfway through, I think I texted you and was like, this is a weird movie, man.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of like,
it is a slow movie. It's like a mystery thriller type thing, you know?
And it takes a little while to get to like, what the fuck is going on? Like the mystery doesn't really reveal itself until maybe like 30, 40 minutes into the film.
Mm-hmm.
And like once you kind of get like, all right, like, I mean, going into the movie, obviously, you know, it's about a serial killer or whatever, but it takes that long to get going. And then like, once it finally hooks the mystery piece, it starts to become more engaging, I think. And the performances all around are great. Like,
yeah, I'm surprised, you know, I don't think I've seen Dylan McDermott in a ton of shit or whatever. I was like, yeah. Isn't he mostly like a TV actor?
Like, yeah, he was like in The Practice. He was on American Horror Story.
Yeah, that's right.
He's good in this.
Yeah. He's really good in this. Like, and he's able to switch it up a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And switch it up, the movie does. I mean, like I said, this thing goes where you think it's going. I don't want to, like, totally spoil everything in it.
He does, like, you start to believe along with, you know, Tyler that,
yeah,
that Don is this guy, but he's so like, oh, he's so smooth, and like it's very engaging, his performance throughout the whole thing. But
when you get to finally see him in action, it's the movie actually goes like a little, for me, anyways, like it's kind of like, as like you said, it's a kind of a classy slow thing. I don't think it really holds back that much once, like, I'm not saying it's gory or violent or anything, but like once you get to see him in action, like I found it to be pretty chilling, and his performance was very like matter of fact. Like, this is what I do,
yeah.
You know?
A lot of films like have this point where it's like, all right, we got to this point. Now we're going to quickly show you like how we got there. Like really, like, you know, Saw does it like at the end, like it kind of gives you,
yeah,
this like, this actually like it does that rewind thing, but it then does that time period from a different perspective, which I found pretty cool. Cause it's like, you see it from the one end and then you see it from the other,
yeah,
end, and how it ultimately matches up with, you know, that divergent point. It's very, yeah, very cool.
Yeah. I actually rewatched the last 30 minutes of it tonight because of that, because you mentioned that, and I remember like when I first watched it, it kind of threw me off a little bit, but yeah, it kind of does this thing at the end where you reach the climax of the film, and then it kind of revolves around that climax, showing you, you know, the last 10 minutes or so leading up, or, you know, it'll go to one character and show 10 minutes of them, and then it'll go to another character and show that. I'm kind of, it works. Yeah. It's interesting. I think it's well done, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of dug how it played out in the end. Like, this is not like, it didn't like blow me away, but I was totally into it the whole way. And I liked the performances, and, you know, it's, you know, coming off of, like, this is kind of a throwback. It feels like an early 90s movie to me, but coming off a bad throwback like The Ranger, this kind of impressed me. And I want to say, like, it's weird. Like, it ends, I'm like, I don't think it really has much to say. But rewatching it tonight, you know, it kind of ends on this line, I love you. And rewatching it tonight, I was like, I think that the character that says that means that. Like, that's the note it was ending on, like, because it was his dad, you know?
Right. Anyways. Like, that's, yeah.
Like, he had to do what he had to do. Yeah. Right. Kind of spoiling this one scene.
Yeah, it's like, well, exactly. He had to do what he had to do, but ultimately, like, there's a reason that they decided to go the path they did.
Yeah, right. And we won't spoil that, but I get what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like we've said too much at this point. It's a good movie, I thought. I'm going to give it 4 stars. It's not like a high 4, but I think it's a little cut above.
Yeah, I'm right below you on that. I'm going to give it a 3, but yeah, it's certainly worth a watch. It does have like a slow start, but once it hits that mystery, once you start investigating like the murders and you start like the character interactions are great, like there's a lot of good like drama in there that plays out interestingly, and I think it's really well done. So definitely worth a watch on Hulu.
One last horror movie to touch on this week. I saw this one that came out, I want to say in like January. I don't know, February 8th it says. So it was like an early, you know, horror movie that came out this year, and it was like an evil kid movie. And it's like your pretty standard evil kid movie, you know, like it's kind of what you expect. The kid is actually great in it. I don't have his name pulled up.
Jackson Robert Scott.
Yeah, he's the little kid from It. We'll all float down here. We'll all float down here. The kid from the beginning.
Georgie. Yeah.
Georgie, yep. I did not realize that, but someone said that to me on Twitter afterwards. I'm like, ah, that makes sense. He was good in that too. He's great in this. Like, as playing an evil kid, he scares the shit out of me. I'm like, holy, I don't ever want to see this kid. The problem with this movie is it's really, really fucking stupid. And if you don't mind, I'm going to, here, Chris, do you mind if I tell you spoilers?
No.
Okay, so I'm gonna give my rating of it, and then I'm gonna give some spoilers. Skip ahead if you don't want to hear it, and get into our Game of Thrones talk, which is gonna be all spoilers. Also, this is a spoiler episode. Anyways, it's a 2. It's stupid. It's watchable, but it's really stupid, and I walked away pretty disappointed that it wasn't even slightly better. Like, it could have just been, if it could have left out a few stupid things, it could have been at least a 3, but anyways, it's a 2. So, like, the idea of this is there was this serial killer who he was holding this woman somewhere, and she escapes, and she runs to the police, and the police come, they find him, and they like end up shooting the serial killer, and then 15 minutes later, the kid from this movie was born, and he had inherited the soul of the serial killer. So kind of like Child's Play, except the kid being born, and right?
There's no, like,
no reason, no, like, for it.
Yeah, just happens.
It's just like, well, yeah, I think, like, there's, like, this guy who's an expert they talked to at some point who was like, yeah, like, you could get infected with another soul. So, like,
God,
it's basically this other soul feeding on you, but only one will be dominant in the end, and the other soul that's not dominant will get absorbed. So, like, he's telling the mom at some point, like, you better figure out, like, how to make your kid defeat the soul that's feeding off of him.
Aside from that being really stupid, like, the concept that, like, as soon as you die, your soul can be transported into, like, so, like, you continue to exist. You just recycle immediately. That's terrifying to me. Like, you don't even get a fucking break. Like, you just keep going.
See, that's fucking hilarious because here I am. I'm like, at least you go on. Like, I'm so scared of dying.
It's like,
you know, you're like, I need a fucking
break. Yeah, give me a little break.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, dude. I guess maybe because, like, the more I think about it, I'm like, yeah, it's really dumb, but it's also kind of a new idea, I guess. So, like, you're doing a spin on it. You're doing a spin on the evil kid genre. You're giving him a reason that, like, you know, whatever. But then the problem is the way, like, it ends, or, like, the way it, like, I forgot how it, like, I do remember how it very ends. Anyways, but it's like, near the climax, the mom, she comes up with her solution to, like, win, and it is to, like, go after the lady he was trying to kill when he got shot by the police. Like, if she goes and kills that lady that, you know, escaped from him all those, like, 10 years ago, that his spirit would move on or some shit? I'm like, I don't understand. It's just stupid, dude. It's like, what? Like, what was it? He's supposed to be satisfied then? Like, it's like a ghost test, like, asking you to do that one last thing so you can move on. And her, like, solution was she had to go kill his last victim that survived. Like,
that's really dumb.
Yeah, dude. Like, I fucking hated it. Anyway, so it's 2 stars. It sucks. like, it sucks, though, because, like, that kid is so good in it. Anyways, so we have 2 things left here, and it's television, and it's some big shit. I'm going to flip the order that we were going to do it. I'm going to talk real quick about Chernobyl first, and then we'll get into Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is a miniseries going on right now on HBO. I don't know how many episodes it is, honestly, but I just decided to check it out, like, the first 2 episodes have aired, so, like, I watched episode 1 last night, and I watched episode 2 tonight right before recording here. And this is another super quality HBO show, man. And it's about, of course, the Chernobyl disaster that happened in 1986 in, like, Russia or whatever. And and, you know, I'm familiar with it, obviously. You know, I mean, I was alive at that time, and, you know, it's part of pop culture in a way at this point. Like, a lot of any, like, sort of, you know, post-apocalyptic type of shit will kind of reference Chernobyl, I feel like.
I mean, it's the, you know, probably the most notable nuclear disaster
ever. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And, like, I didn't realize, like... Exactly. Like, I guess, you know, I never read in depth on it. I never read a book about it or watched a documentary about it. So getting to see it play out here on this HBO show, you're getting all sorts of deals or details, and it's playing out like fucking masterful television dramatically. You know what I mean? So, like, you're turning this real life incident, and it's just really, really gripping TV. Yeah, and I forgot what else I was going to say real quick, but and one thing that, like, just popped in my head is, like, it's funny, everyone, like, speaks English in it. They're not speaking Russian. They don't even, like, do Russian accents. So they're just like, British dudes.
Fair enough.
Which is fine. They do mix in some, like, real news footage, though, and stuff like that. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of amazing to see some of the mismanagement that happens. And, like, it'll drive you kind of crazy. Like, first, the mismanagement that happens, and then two, like, the containing the disaster in some ways, and the way the government seemed to want, like, it seemed like everyone, like both like the, you know, just people working in the plant didn't want to admit how bad what was happening was, but also, and then when the government got involved, like, cause that's, it's just funny. Like, I'm in this, you know, in the second episode, it's been like 36 hours since this thing has started. And there's still people that don't realize that the core has fucking exploded. Like there's still people, there's people standing there with the core in the background fucking burning. And they're like, I don't know if the core's exploded. I don't really believe that. It's not possible that it can. And then you're just like, you're like, want to scream, open your fucking eyes. Like, it's right there. Like,
I think you're like pointing. I'm not a nuclear expert, but that looks fucked.
Yeah. It was like, I can't, in a way, you understand that a government wants to, like, you know, minimize things and contain it, but also, like, at a human level, sometimes it can be hard to, like, realize that, like, something bad has actually really happened, like, really, really bad, you know? And, like, the level of the disaster kind of, like, is escalating. Like, you know, in this episode, they're talking about how, like, 50 million people could die, and, that, you know, we know, obviously, that didn't happen, so there's gonna be some heroics here and some ingenuity, but, that's what's really cool about this, is getting to see like a beat by beat of how this is going down. Yeah, I forgot there's some other things I wanted to say, but like they slipped my mind as I was saying them. But it's really good. It's, you know, it's top notch HBO drama, but this time based on something that's real. And just, oh, the one other thing I wanted to say is that waste no time getting started. Like within 5 minutes, the disaster starts of the opening of this. Like it's pretty fucking quick to that, and like the first few episodes have just been just dealing like with moment to moment of dealing with the disaster. Like you're getting a little bit of character development, but it's mostly just like real, you know, just people reacting to what's going on. It's, and it's been really gripping. So
I am looking forward to getting some time to sit down and watch it. It's just, unfortunately, I haven't made that time yet, but I'm super fascinated by the whole Chernobyl incident in Pripyat. Like it's that like I love looking at like photos of Pripyat now. Like it's,
do people go in there now?
So they do occasionally allow people in. Most of the time, it is closed off.
Do they do you have to like wear?
Don't think so.
It's just the kind of thing where it's like you can't, you don't want to live there, but you could go and, you know, probably be there for an hour and one.
Yeah, evidently, like there's like, you know, animals are back, they're thriving in the area again, but there are still like probably higher than levels of radiation higher than what you'd want. So the Ukrainian government keeps you out of it at this point. So.
It's crazy, dude. So it's like this really eerie ghost town.
Yeah, it's. I mean, yeah. And it's. You know, it's. You said it's also part of pop culture. Like it's been in, like a ton of things. Like it's. You know, they use Pripyat as a location in a Call of Duty 4. You know, it's like the iconic things from there. There's been movies that are centered around there. And,
you know, when you play a game like Metro. Chernobyl comes to mind. Yeah,
all based on that. Yeah, it's like what would happen if like that explosion had been worse.
Yeah,
it actually like
permeated. And it could have been. You'll see. I mean, it could have been very, very. I don't know how detailed you know about what happened there, but it's like at least at the end of this second episode, they're like, you know, yeah, if we don't figure out, they basically like in trying to put the fire out, made it much, much worse and created lava, and the lava's heading towards tanks full of water. So if you imagine like an explosion, you know, these tanks of water get basically blown up from a super like 2000 degree heat, then you have vaporized water with radiation in it. You know what I mean? Like it's like you're dropping another bomb. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
It's crazy.
Quite fascinating. 5 episodes too.
Okay, so there's 3 more. The first 2 are really good. I hate to say like a lot of fun, but they're really grim. And like one other thing about like stood out to me. There's a lot of like in the first episode, especially like when it just happened, like this shit just exploded and people don't realize what's going on and they're working inside the place. There's a lot of people going like, There's a lot of people like denying what's going on. Like, nothing, no, nothing is wrong. It's absolutely impossible. We're going to be fine. So, like, just fucking vomiting all over the entire room. I'm like, holy shit. Like, it's almost like a horror movie at points in the first episode.
Which I think is probably, the best way to handle it, because, like, it, in many ways, it is a horror story. So,
yeah. So yeah, it's Chernobyl. There's two episodes deep right now and free to go. I'd say jump on that. I'll tide you over to whatever the next big thing is. Handmaid's Tale, that comes back in June.
But this ends right in June. So,
but ending this week, Chris.
Yeah.
Is Game of Thrones. We just saw the penultimate episode. I think it's called The Bells.
Yes.
So that would be season 8, episode 5. Let me give you, like, my just real general thing going into this. Like, I my feelings this season has been, most episodes I'm like, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. That was pretty good. It's all been between a 7 and an 8. This last episode, I'm fucking coming to my feet. I'm clapping. I'm hollering. I'm having the time of my fucking life. To me, this was a 10 out of 10 episode. I go on to Twitter. I'm like, that ought to silence all the critics. Refresh. Worst episode ever. Everybody. And I'm like, I guess I missed something. I don't know.
I don't. So it's funny because, three episodes ago, we're sitting here talking like hell, like that. You know, this could go one of two ways. They either go the full fantasy route, like traditional fantasy hero, and you know, king and queen take over and rule, and like whatever. I mean, it's a fantasy thing. Like, you know, it maybe goes against shit, but ultimately, it's a fucking fantasy novel. That's where this goes. And everybody's like, oh, I don't want that. I want it to go back to the grim and and it goes there, and
that's what I loved.
And it goes there, and like I'm confused by some of the reception to this as well, where they're like, it's against their character. When, no, everything that happened is totally within the character that you've gotten over the previous 7 seasons and 5 episodes.
Like going back to season 1.
Yeah, it's all there. Like, you know,
like you, I think you see her in one light because she's doing things that are noble,
right? But she's always
been true to the same character throughout.
Like, her one goal has always been to get the throne, and she's
done horrible things to get there,
and people have talked her down from even worse things to get there.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Like her concept for Marine was she just wanted to go in and like torch fucking everything. Like, I'm just gonna like destroy it all and we'll rebuild from there. They're like, no, like that you can't do that. There's lots of innocence, and she was talked down at that point. But I don't know. I think over the last 2 seasons, you see her becoming a little more frantic in the way she handles things, a little less willing to listen to people to talk her down, because she feels everybody is trying to betray her. I don't know. I believe that, yes, maybe you could have used a couple more scenes, maybe another episode that kind of like dives into showing her with that descent a little bit more, but it's there. It's been there since season 1.
Yeah.
And all of it, like all of it has been there since season 1. Like, people are like, oh, you know, Jamie, like his redemption arc is stupid. Like he
didn't have a redemption arc. He was Jamie.
Right. He was always like, and this is not my description, but I think it is the best description I've seen of Jamie's character. And I agreed with it 100%. Jamie was a junkie, and like what his drug was his sister. Yeah. And like he was like, always.
It doesn't mean he's a bad person. I mean, he is ultimately a bad person because he did bad things. But
right, but like he was an addict, and like
yeah,
and like you know, he yes, he turned his back on like a loving relationship and turning his life around and being somebody good. But he ultimately does what a lot of addicts do and goes back and falls off the wagon again. And this time it cost him his life. Like,
dude, I had someone tell me like what they did with Jamie was like bullshit. I'm like, I didn't get it. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's true to the core of Jamie, of what he's always done. It's always been, I go back to Cersei. It's so, always been.
Right. That. It's like, all right, you maybe could have used an extra scene of him explaining that instead of him just, it's like the way it works in the last couple episodes was like, he hears that she's, you know, he hears something about his sister. And then like the next scene, he's like packing up in the middle of the night to go see her. Like maybe you could have like used an extra scene somewhere there, but they didn't. And you don't necessarily need it because ultimately, he's always returned to Cersei.
Yeah, I the whole the pacing is off and everything's going too quick. I don't feel that. I'm actually quite the opposite. I'm like, finally, all the cool shit's going down. I love how every episode of the season has been more cool shit's going down. Well, you know, and it's just like. I've had 8 years of build up, dude. I'm ready.
It's been 8 seasons, and
I'm ready to fucking right. Let's go.
But I do understand some people being like, look, like there's lots of loose threads that they're not tying up and not touching it. And like, hey, like I blame that on Martin. Like he created this crazy ass garden with 7,000 threads and these two guys are trying to adapt that to the screen and like they've passed his work and it's like, hey, we need to fucking wrap this shit up. Like we're not going to get that source material. Yeah. HBO would gladly have this go on for another 5 fucking years, but what the fuck do we have to say?
Yeah.
We just got to wrap it up. Like get it over with, get it done.
I'm having fun watching the action figures finally come together and fight.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, this is like what I've been waiting for forever. Yeah. All the shit you've been telling me about since season one, now I'm getting to see it. Like, I don't, like, and the story beats, like, people act like there's no story beats in there. Like, the stuff that's in there, I'm fucking love, dude. The stuff with Jaime and Tyrion, I was on the verge of fucking tears, dude.
Yeah, that was a great scene. I like the fact that, you know, Jamie and Cersei were like ultimately buried alive. Like
I thought it was super fitting.
I know people like want
her
story and Night King moment where, you know, oh, we got to kill the bad guy and oh shit. But you were never going to get a satisfying, like,
dude, she died like Hitler, like fucking, you know, like, scared, hiding
in a tunnel, like just afraid. And like, you know, oh,
the city that she terrorized, the city that she terrorized, literally falling down on top of her. Like,
yep.
I'm sorry, I understand you want to see your fucking kid cut out of her, and you know, like, you want to see her fucking tortured, but like,
you were never going to get that ever.
This was poetic. This felt good, like to me, like fucking Lost and all this. Like, no one even fucking talks about the Cleagan Bowl. Like, we finally got that. Like. And I hate to sound like a geeky fan, but like I had fun with some of that shit, dude. It's fucking cool that you finally get to see this shit go down. It's a great looking episode. I don't know, like,
yeah, I thought it looked good. I thought it was very well paced. I also like the fact that, you know, the Northmen aren't these noble fuckers. Like they're. You know, they're just like every other fucking soldier. They're rapists. They're murderers. They're gonna take advantage. And you know, the Unsullied aren't these honorable warriors. They're people that will stab you in the fucking back.
Yeah, blood hungry.
So much like that was at play here, and it's like, no, like this is a bad world.
It spoke exactly to what, like, look, it's they gave me what I wanted. This is what you heard me what I said weeks ago. I mean, I thought it would be Cersei. But, you know, I thought she would win. But in a way, it's almost even better, in my opinion, that you made. Yeah, maybe I didn't see it coming with Daenerys, but as soon as it did, well, I mean, I saw it this season, for sure. They were kind of building towards it, you know what I mean?
Oh, it's,
but as soon as it did, I was like, I wasn't like, that's bullshit. I was like, no, they've been building towards it this season for sure. And it's always been a possibility since season one. It's always been this huge question mark over her since she fucking had her brother get a golden crown, dude. Like, since her fucking dad was the Mad King. Like, you know, come on. Like, don't act like none of this shit has been built towards. And the funny thing is like, when I got into it, like, that was a lot of people's biggest complaint right away. And then when you push them on that and were like, dude, you didn't see any of this coming because blah, 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 blah. Then they started to back off and they're like, oh, well, it happened too quick. And they didn't make it believable. And this and that. I'm like, oh my God.
They're just
too
angry.
Quick. It happened over.
They're angry that their white savior queen didn't get to come in and do it. Like, it's fine. Guess what? That's good. It's good that she didn't get to do it. She's been bad since the beginning. And people that viewed her
think about it, like,
are weird.
It's crazy. Like, I mean, there's parts of her that were righteous, and there were moments where I'm like, I'm a fan of her. You know, I was like, there are parts where, like, when she finally uses her dragons for the first time, you're like, hell fuck yeah, dude. You know. But yeah, I mean, like, if we're gonna sit back and, like, think about it for a second, like, she had a lot of scary tendencies, dude. That a lot of, like, you know, advisors and shit, and you had Tyrion kind of tamping it down the last three or four seasons or whatever, you know. Just not to harp on it again, but Tyrion, man, that part's so good. Like, when he tells his brother that the only reason he survived his childhood is because of him. Like, oh my God, dude, it's so fucking good.
Yeah, there were.
Great, I don't know how you could come out of that, like, so upset, dude. Like,
you got everything that you've been asking for. Like, you got this epic battle.
I guess I did.
But I don't know. Like, this is the exact opposite of the battle for Winterfell. Like, where
it was shot in the light. It looked great. This cinematography was so fucking good the whole episode.
Characters actually died. There was weight to the decisions that happened.
Yeah.
Like, people weren't just saved because, like, they were needed two episodes down the line. Like, it was a good episode. It was exactly what they were complaining about with the Battle of Winterfell, but the opposite. Like, it was a good version of that.
When she did finally decide to start killing the civilians, it was such a shocking moment that took my mind to register, like, a minute to register what was going on, because I thought she was just going to fly towards Cersei and kill her. And then when she started burning the people, like, it took my mind a second to, like, register it. And then I'm like, that's when I hopped to my feet. I started clapping. I was like, "Not." I didn't say it was the greatest episode because I still think the Battle of the Bastards is probably my favorite episode of the whole. Like, it's either that or the Trial of Tyrion is my favorite episode of the whole series. But this is up there, dude. This is in the top 10, you know? And
right.
For me, it was really satisfying climax. Now we get to see the conclusion. I don't know if you have any predictions for the end, but I don't know. I almost just like to see what they have cooked up for me and whether I like it or not.
Yeah, I don't.
And if I
don't,
I hate it. I'm not gonna write a petition about how they have to reshoot this fucking series. I might hate it. I might tell you next week I hated the finale.
Which is fine.
I want to love it, but it can go either way, and I'll just accept how it goes. That's how life is, man.
I'll move on. I'll go to whatever the next step
is. I'll, like, see. I'll go
this
see
has been a decade
worse,
of my life. Like, I'm good. Yeah. No, I have no predictions. I don't really know where they're going to go here. Like, there are obviously tons of theories that think what may happen, but I want to go in blind. I'm an experience and just, like, come out and go, yeah, you know what? That was a good series, a good television series. Like, it has its ups and downs, and maybe the final one will be a down point, but, like, I think it's a...
The highs were so high, dude. Like,
yeah, and it's an amazing accomplishment for television that, like, this big budget fantasy film, like, was, like, fantasy series was able to kind of gain traction with a mass audience.
No one would have thought that this could be the biggest television show out there ever. Nobody thought. HBO passed on the pilot at first. I mean, that's that's gives you an idea. Like, no one thought this was possible.
Side note, Benioff and Weiss, the two showrunners here, and the kind of the creators of the TV show for Game of Thrones, it was revealed that the next Star Wars film will be.
Yeah.
So,
speaking of Star Wars, are they still doing that weird Civil War show that everyone hated?
I don't know.
I have no idea. Yeah, I don't hate them. A lot of people like really like specifically seem to hate those guys. I know one of them wrote like X-Men Origins Wolverine or whatever, but like, I don't know, dude. You gotta hand it to them. Like, yeah, they're working off of George R.R. Martin, but Game of Thrones has been pretty fantastic overall.
Yeah,
I don't have any big prediction for the finale. I just want to say that I'm just gonna say if it is. Does end up being just like a hero's tale where fucking Jon Snow takes the throne, I'll be kind of disappointed in that. I really hope like there's some sort of surprise where like Arya or Sansa is taking the throne, or some or little guy with a heart of gold, Tyrion, takes the throne. You know what I mean? Like, what if Tyrion's on the throne at the end? Oh my god, I would fucking nerd out forever about that.
Just
I want something weird like that. I don't want it to be Jon Snow, but
no. And if it is, I hope that he like abolishes the Iron Throne and throws it back to the people. Like
that would be cool. That would be fun. Like, yeah. See, I could see it like winning me over with some sort of message like that. You know what I mean? But to me, it's like I just feel like for it to be feel true to the spirit of the show, it has to be something really cynical.
Yeah,
but we'll see. We'll see. At least I got that with this episode.
Yeah, but did want to point one out. You said Benioff wrote X-Men Origins. He did. He also wrote the screenplay for 25th Hour, which I know is a film you really like.
I love. Yes, I mean, and as he wrote it off of the book.
He wrote the book. So okay, that's all yeah. Him.
So anyone. A lot of people like are like I'm sorry, like not to be claimed by my liberal brethren, but it's like a lot of people are like, oh, these white male writers. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know white males couldn't write fucking stories anymore. Like, come on, dude. Like,
yeah, it's
all stuff, they do some good stuff.
And
some of the criticisms, I get it, but like, it's Game of Thrones, dude. It's a vile world. Like, anyways.
Yep.
You just reminded me, or reminded myself of the craziest accusation, or not even accusation against the show, but like that, like the depiction of Daenerys is like a really negative picture of mental illness. And this is by someone who I normally like respect her opinion, but I was just like, what? Come on, dude! Like, what are we talking about here?
Huh. I did not see that.
I don't even see her as mentally ill or anything. She's just a person with tyrant tendencies. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know where we were going with that, but I didn't click on anything she had written about it, but just seeing her tweets and stuff about it, I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I guess next week I will maybe have John Wick.
I doubt it. Maybe. I haven't gone to the theater in probably over a month, which really sucks because that means I threw $20 down the drain. It's going to be soon, though. It's going to be picking up for me big time. Like, there's a ton of stuff coming out really soon. So.
Well, I will try to see John Wick, and then the week after. I feel that holiday weekend I'm just gonna camp out at the theater. Like,
what is it? I think Godzilla's coming, right?
Let's see, Aladdin, and also like, not that I'm like pumped to go see Aladdin, but I feel like probably have to, and my kids yeah. Wanna see it. What else is it's a Booksmart is that day, and Brightburn are all next weekend. So I will have at least two of those. Hopefully three, but next week I'll definitely have John Wick. So.
Well, I can't tell you what I'll have for sure, but I'm all over Brightburn.
Yeah.
So we'll be back with stuff.
All right.
Movie dudes. Do, 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 do.